something that I need to do something last year, which was when the year is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think I prefer to tune activities down, just do key stuff that are important, leverage 80-20 rules, leave the remaining 80 out completely, do the 20, right, and just replace the 80 with just consuming stuffs like books, articles, podcasts, anything that like that adds value, just keep on consuming. Yeah. And I've actually been doing that for like 1 week, 2 weeks now, just reading back to back. I finished the book I was reading, picked up another one. Hopefully, I can finish it like very soon, in a few days. Then, listen to like a lot of messages, podcasts, and stuff. Like, I read articles and stuff. Just like, I don't know, leave a very broad horizon at whatever is coming in the new year. Because I figured sometimes when we are making planning, we just plan with the information that we need. We actually see the world with it.
Plan with new information.
Yeah, so amazing. Get new information as much as possible.
I'm writing that down right now. That's you just passed a very important. Thank God I started recording. So I didn't let you know, but I actually started recording as we were just trying
I had in mind that this bro, I've actually started recording. He just wanted me to like flow in easily because it will become better if we started with a very nice conversation without me thinking about recording.
Exactly. That was the trick. Okay, you caught me on that one. And that's very, very important. And I think I'm going to write that down. Funny thing, I was doing the same thing, but I didn't know that was what I was doing until you started mentioning like what you've been doing lately was trying to read more and all of that. Immediately we got into December, immediately after examinations. By the way, congratulations on graduating.
Yeah, congratulations.
huge milestone, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a very big one.
So immediately after those final examinations, I went and got about 3 books. Immediately afterwards, I finally got Atomic Habits. I've read Atomic Habits online. I've read the soft copy before, but I decided to get a hard copy this time around, just to read it again. Then I bought one more book on leadership, and then 2 books on leadership actually, 2 John Maxwell books on leadership. And because I felt like, okay, the next phase that I really want to look into across almost all areas of my life, really. I mean, I've been engineering for some 4 years now. So I was thinking the next stage for me, career-wise, you know, all around my entire life actually is you know, leading engineering teams of some sort, right? So
you are shifting more from you're shifting more from being an engineer now to like leading, right?
I think
I've actually been noticing that from some of the stuff you've been doing, especially your your article, right?
Because
I think now you're shifting more from just an engineer to becoming like a thought leader in this space, which is like quite like at the right time, because I mean, you spent about 4 or 5 years in this space, you're somewhat like getting to the thought leader kind of stage already, which is amazing.
Exactly. Good work. Thanks. That's what we're getting at. Okay, so we have Olufemi, my old guy, my boss, on the podcast again today. And I was preparing the title for the podcast. It's actually different from what I told you we're going to talk about. Because I remember I went back to like listen to the previous one we did together, and I remember that I actually titled it Money Matters with Olufemi. So I just made the title like Money Matters Part 2, because is what we're actually going to talk about in this space today as well. However, why I thought we should do this is this. So I've been doing the 2 series, if you noticed. I've been doing the 2 series on my podcast where I release 1 episode per month, 1-2 episode per month. And the idea of 2 series was this. It was this period, we're getting into the new year as well. And then I was thinking about what I should do on the podcast for new year. I was thinking, okay, should I do a podcast about how to plan your year? And I'm not a new year resolutionist. I don't do all those, this year I must go to the gym.
New year, new me.
Yeah, I don't used to do that. I don't think I've ever even planned a year before, to be honest. I always look at it like, okay, it's another day. It's just another year. 1 year ended. It's a new year. Right. But then, I discovered that the people on my podcast will probably not be on that kind of mindset together with me. Right. And they will probably need something to, you know, urge them into the new year. But because the podcast is also the journey with me, I cannot tell you about resolutions or tell you about planning a year if I don't plan my own year. So what experience am I bringing to, you know, talk to you about? So I thought, let's do a two series such that instead of just planning a year, throughout this entire year, I'm going to make research and then dig into things that happen in my life every month and bring out one very valuable concept that you can actually actively use as a, technically as a tool to navigate your life. So if you look at the kind of episodes that I've been releasing on the two series, I started with things like emotional intelligence, mental health. I've done defining your purpose. Yeah, not that. Defining your purpose. I've talked about delayed gratification, time management, you know, many concepts that just really helps you, you know yourself better and also navigate situations that happen to you in life. And then, of course, one of those tools that we always need in life is, of course, money. And so that's why this was actually supposed to be scheduled for November, actually, but as it was, the entire November was just a very chaotic year, a month for me rather. Besides, I have take off to organize, so it took my entire November from me, actually. So money is one of those tools that would always need to navigate life entirely. So I thought, let's do an episode on money. And of course, anytime I think about finance, personal finance, business finance, I don't think about anyone else than Olufemi. So that's why I have you here. Olufemi has come here before, but I'd still like him to introduce himself again. You don't need to, I won't put you on the 30 seconds rule like I did last time, since you've been here before. So, between then and now, you know, who's Olufemi now?
All right, wait. Okay, hi everyone. Between then and now, Olufemi was a financial analyst then, right? Just a financial analyst, and was able to co-found a logistics startup, right? But as of now, Olufemi is a financial analyst and a business analyst, right? And also still a co-founder. And Olufemi is now speaking to people, like showing people the light about personal finance and investment, because I've discovered something, especially this year. I discovered that we all are having conversations around, okay, what this government is doing, what other government is doing, and people are not like getting rich and all. But one thing I discovered is the prosperity of the country, the prosperity of a nation, for example, Nigeria. Now, this prosperity of Nigeria is summation of the prosperity of individual citizen. And I figured that the best way to actually like improve the prosperity of the country, right, is to improve the prosperity of each individual, right? It's just like if you sum up, if everybody has one year, you add it up, it makes a huge amount. Mm. But what happens when you now multiply what everybody has by 10, then makes 10x what the whole nation actually has, right?
Yeah.
And I've discovered and I've seen it times without number that financial literacy.
Nice. That's very good to hear. So I was thinking about how to approach finance for this two series, and I was thinking, first things first, I'm going to put the link of the previous episode in the description of this particular episode, because I went back to listen to that episode and it's like everything that I was said then, of course, all of those things are still very valid, you know, till date, right? Super, super interesting stuff. In fact, I actually went back to the notes I took during your session when I was planning my financial year for 2024. So as I said, I'm not a New Year resolutionist, but one thing I discovered this year was that in every area of my life, if I fail to plan, it means that I have planned to fail. So, and it happens in the littlest of things. In fact, if I just saying that, okay, I want to leave the house by 9 o'clock, if I don't actually plan, like intentional, like if I don't put some intentional thought into saying, okay, for me to leave the house by 9, I need to get out of my chair by maybe 7:30 and head into the bathroom, get out of the bathroom at this time, allocate this time to get dressed, allocate this time to, you know, pack the things I need to pack so that I don't forget anything and actually leave by 9. If I don't do that, I'll probably sit on my chair, continue working to 8:30, and then try to do rush and do all of that within 30 minutes. And it never works. Like, it never works. So that is how little planning actually helps you, right? And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that plan in finance, the plan for my year. And that's actually why it looks like, oh, for the first time, I'm actually going to be planning the year. It's still not New Year resolutions per se, but it's actually me saying that these are the projects, these are the levels that I must attain next year. It means next year, like, I'm trying to say, oh, career-wise, I should be able to probably land a new job by Q1, do this by Q2, do this by Q3. So it's not really like New Year resolution kind of thing. It's actual plan. It's just like a business strategy kind of thing, but this time around,
yeah,
a personal strategy. So it's just
like being conscious about the entire journey.
Thing, yeah. Just being conscious about your thing, right? And I was bringing back, I was working on my finance, on the finance part, and then I actually went back to our episode together on Money Matters. I can say it's part one because this will be part two. I went back to that episode and I saw that they were all still very, very valuable, right? They're all still very, very valuable. And and I listened to you at DevFest. Well, I hosted you at DevFest. and I talked about that topic, about what freedom truly means, right? What it means to be free and how you delivered that very, very amazing session about, you know, not exactly tying your success or, you know, what it means to be free, you know, how it ties into your finance and what it, and, you know, people getting the misconception that, oh, you have to really, really chase, you know, money per se. So that's why I thought, let's bring that particular topic to the podcast. Let's see if I can help my listeners understand, you know, what it means to be free and how money plays into that and the areas where people actually chase money and they're actually not supposed to at that particular period, or the kind of mindset that you should have, you know, while chasing that financial freedom or while chasing actual freedom, because you're very particular.
I'm finding a way to put
it. You guys should be ready to listen to music in this podcast today.
Like I said that day, so financial freedom, I started actually from asking what everybody thinks success is, right? Because the topic then was redefining success beyond financial metrics.
Yes.
Right. So, but I started with, okay, what exactly is success? Because what success means to you will actually determine how you would measure it, right?
Mm.
For someone, some people feel success is, I need to get a very nice ride, I need to get a very nice apartment, stuff like that, having a very good luxury lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's success for some people. So when they get there, that's the end of the road. But some other guys, their success is completely different. It's like, I need to have a company that is generating 10 million revenue. Okay, so for me, I do believe that success is not just tied to titles alone. It's not tied to stuff like the amount of cash we have in your account. Yeah. And I do really have the opinion that traditional metrics like income, job titles, material possession, they narrow our perspective on success, because we have stuff like relationship, quality of life, human experience, and the traditional metrics fail to like factor the weakness of this, right?
Yeah.
And when it comes to defining success, I believe it's more like it should be something that it's more personal, right? It shouldn't be something you look outward to. It should be, okay, success should be about freedom. For me, that's what I believe. It should be about being able to do what you want whenever you want it, right? And that's what I do believe matters, right? And when it comes to freedom is not just the word freedom, right? When you combine it with financial freedom basically means having resources that enable you to do what you want whenever you want it. So let me give a very basic example. So you could say after the recording, you could just say, okay, you know what? I want to get to the nearest restaurant. I want to grab snacks and bring it back home.
Yeah.
That's freedom. Mm. That itself is true definition of success, not the amount of cash you have in your account. Mm. For me, because being able to do what you want whenever you want it is beyond what traditional metrics can measure. And let me give another example now. So Elon Musk recently did something that we've not seen in years, if not decades, right? He took a company that is public, right? Took it private. I mean, you see that level of freedom. His level of freedom is super crazy. So, and when you look at this, for him, he was successful because he was able to do something that it's only few humans on the surface of Earth that can actually dream of it. Take a company from the public market, bring it to your room and say, don't worry, I'll do this thing in my room. I don't want anybody to interfere. I'll do it the way I want. I feel like the company is not performing well. So I'll take it from everybody doing it and I'll bring it in my room, fix it. Then send it to you guys back. That's freedom. So when it comes to financial freedom, right, it's basically being able to do what you want whenever you want. But beyond that, it has key frameworks and other stuff that enable you to actually be able to do that. Because to be very sincere, for you to be financially free, for you to be free, you can't just say, I'm free, I'm going to London today. If you don't have the money, they're going to stop you at the end and say, bro, go back to your house, stuff like that. Yeah. So I think that's what financial freedom is, right?
Amazing. So, I mean, looking at these definitions, there are certain things that have been key factors in what you've said. Like, going back to what you said, doing what you want when you want to do it, right? So, does that mean that your financial freedom is very much tied to that word want, your want? And I'm saying this because we also have a concept of lifestyle inflation, where you start wanting things that you're probably not supposed to want, right? Like someone who's earning 100k per month and starts wanting to buy a Lexus R20 or Lexus R360, and I'm like, well, in the current economy, maybe it would have been possible maybe 10 years ago with the same amount of 100k, but right now, I mean, I feel like that's some level of lifestyle inflation, except you're probably taking a loan and you are going to be repaying maybe 50k per month and then using the remaining 50k to manage it however you want to manage it for the entire month. So do you think that financial freedom is kind of connected to the things that we want as humans? And if so, how can we change our mindsets to want the things that are within our means?
Okay, let me say this. Let me reframe the want a little bit, right? So before every human being was influenced by the opinions of the society, by cultural standard, by peer pressure, and other stuff that they've seen, that I feel like I should do this as well. It is something that actually like really, really gave us joy, right? For me, it's a turning point for me is just being able to fly an aircraft. I mean, that's just, I really don't really care about fancy cars, right? he gets, but what we actually, when you talk about wants generally, right?
Yeah.
What we actually want, most times they're just like a result of influence from other people, right? Because if I tell you now, an average person that you meet on the street that has a car was influenced to buy it. Because most people that have a car don't actually have need for it. And by I mean something that actually requires, let's say you have a job that requires you to travel. Yeah, you need a car, right? But most of people that have a car just, if I tell you that half of the car that is in Nigeria, between 8 a.m. to probably 3 p.m., they are parked probably in one compound. They come out only in the evening to go ball and do stuff like that, right? But when you talk about want, what I'm coming from the perspective of what really makes us happy, right? Not just, I mean, we have to do basic stuff, right? What really makes us happy? For some people, what really makes them happy is not about having so much money. It's having a very comfortable lifestyle, living in a very good, probably nice home, in a very good space, everything, stuff like that. And they actually not really bother about economic constraints, right? I don't know if you got me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you.
So, when I'm talking about want now, generally, we want something, right? But when we really look at what really matters, is freedom. Is you being able to do what you want. But when you look at the list of what you want sometimes, if you're being sincere with yourself, you can fish out what matters and what doesn't matter. I mean, I can see you having having a MacBook now. And I'm like, I think I want the MacBook. But does it matter? Does it really make me happy? No, I don't think it makes me happy, because I was having a conversation with somebody today. It was like, why am I using HP? I'm like, I like it. It's foldable. I can't fold the MacBook Pro.
Yeah,
and it's cheaper.
It does everything you need, actually.
Yes.
You don't need all the performance that MacBook has.
It can't. And the funniest thing is, I get to use my Microsoft Excel that is basically for my work for free without having to buy it.
Exactly.
I mean, and I was like, for me, I'm actually free. I don't actually have to conform to societal standard of get a MacBook to look like a table, to look like you're successful.
You look like you're successful, obviously.
So, for me, I think if we really look at what matters, right, we would see a lot of stuff that we acquire that some of them actually don't matter. What matters is this stuff that actually make us happy. And when you look at financial freedom, having enough money, having enough resources to do what makes you happy, right? If what makes you happy is buying 15 MacBook, fine. That's your freedom. Then what you need to do is build a framework to get the freedom. But most time, I've discovered that, let's say 70% of people globally, when it comes to Nigeria, around 80-90% of people say they want financial freedom. For those that even know about what financial freedom is, but actually they don't know how to get it. To be very sincere. Because I can tell you that there is a formula, theoretically, there's a formula to financial freedom, but most people don't know this.
I think just my listeners,
financial freedom is getting more money.
My listeners would want to know this. We are urging to know this.
let me bring it to us. So, like I said, financial freedom is being able to do whatever you want, where you want it, right? But I'm coming from the angle of, so what if the code you are writing as a developer could choose to only write code one day in a week? Do your podcast as much as possible, go out, explore, travel around the world, do stuff like that. I mean, when you think from that perspective, you start thinking stuff like having 50 cars, 2 luxury cars, they are not really important. I mean, you find, I can bet that an average human being would find more joy, more satisfaction exploring the world, truly, really exploring the world, going from one amazing city to another amazing city than having, than buying car. To be honest, that's what we actually want. Adventure, want something new, want to,
yeah, we just things, want to do experience what we new want. Things. Like for me now, The reality is that I've not seen myself enjoying traveling to a lot of places. When I was going to start IT, I tweeted that I was going to visit X and Y city, but I was not interested in any of those when IT started. But one thing I do like, though, you mentioned something about 15 MacBooks. I love gadgets a lot. Like, people ask me sometimes, like, so I'm not saying this, so you can probably use it in your example moving forward. Yeah. So, some people ask me sometimes, oh, iPhone or Android? I'm like, iPhone or? Why are you adding an or?
Why can't I have That's freedom, exactly. Why do you have to choose?
I love gadgets so freaking much that if I have the, since I want to learn financial freedom from you now. So as soon as I attain my financial freedom, I want to buy everything. I want to use an iPhone. I want to use the Samsung. I want to use every single. I love gadgets so freaking much.
Let me point something out to you.
Mm.
One thing here is actually not getting those gadgets that actually like makes you happy. Mm. It's just the feeling that you get when you actually.
When you can actually
have those stuff and you can use those stuff, yes. The experience you get,
yes,
that's actually what you're after, not the gadget itself.
Yes, absolutely.
But most people like get confused in the process. They feel like because you are buying like an iPhone and probably a Samsung now, right?
Mm.
They feel like having the two phone is the success. No, it's the experience you want. That experience is what actually matters. And that experience is the freedom from my own perspective.
So instead of focusing on the actual items you are fantasizing about, think about the experience you would gain after purchasing those items, and you know, you can use that to actually review that, okay, do I really want this thing? You're right. Or if this is what I will experience, is this the actual experience I want from having all of these gadgets all together? That's amazing.
Trying to add to that, there's this thing that I had when I wanted to get a laptop. I like, okay, is it a MacBook or an HP? I checked it too. For a while, I was contemplating, should I go for this? Should I go for this? At a certain point, I just feel like, you know what? Cut the crap. I'll buy this first. I'll use it. If I don't like it, buy MacBook. Mm. If I don't like MacBook, I'll go back to it. That's freedom.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So now going back to how we can actually attain financial freedom, because I believe everybody now in this generation, we are a new generation of financial freedom seeker, right?
Mm.
People are pushing the boundary to attain financial stability.
Yes.
And we are a new generation of financial freedom seeker. So there is this movement that is going on globally now. It's popular in some very advanced countries and some region of the world, right? It's called the FIRE movement. The FIRE movement F stands for financial independence, retiring early. So it means you have financial independence. Financial independence, you don't depend on people, right?
Mm.
And you are able to choose to retire. Mm. Retiring early, retiring doesn't mean you just go sit down on one beach. No, you get bored. Actually, you check people that really, really have money and take retirement. They actually don't stay long in retirement.
Yes.
What they actually like is they doing the work, right?
But as fun, so when they want to. Yeah.
But your retirement could be, okay, you know what? In a year, next year, 2024, I'll work for January, February, March. That's one quarter. I'll work for that. The next quarter, I'll go to Dubai, explore South Africa, explore some very nice part of Africa, then come back third quarter of 2024, resume work again. Then the next quarter, I take a break, vacation again. That's freedom, right? So that's what retirement, we should see retirement as, and the freedom as itself, right? Then early means you don't really have to wait till you're 50 for you to explore the world. I saw a meme on IG, was it IG or WhatsApp? I saw some couples traveling, they're very old. I think they were going through Venice or something on a boat. They were sleeping. This is why you shouldn't wait to get old before you travel and explore the world. So you should be able to do things that you actually love and desire very early. So that's what the FIRE movement is all about. Now, and when it comes to financial freedom itself, I mentioned that it does have a formula, right? Theoretically, right? So when it comes to financial freedom itself, how you can strategically plan to achieve it, there's something called the 25X rule.
Okay.
The 25X rule basically is a rule that gives you a template to follow, something to chase, a goal to chase, that when you attain this, you can literally do whatever you want. Right. So let me break it down to us. So 25X rule simply means you look for, let me rebrand it in this way to make it more easy for us. You look for the lifestyle you want.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the lifestyle you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dream wild. Completely wild, right?
Mm.
Check what expenses will be like for a whole year, what you will need to spend for a whole year for that lifestyle.
Get the food for a year.
Not what you need to make, what you need to spend.
Spend.
Right? Get the figures down.
Hmm.
Multiply by 25.
Interesting.
Invest that into low yield investments. You're not looking for short projects, something 10xing your money. No. You're not going that far. You're not even moving far at all. Just look for something that is as low as low risk investment, like stocks that returns between 4 to 5%, 8%, that kind of stuff per annum. Mm-hmm. Not per month, not per quarter, per annum. Mm-hmm. 12 months in a year. Look for something like that. Put what that figure that you multiply by here, or 25, what you got there. Invest that figure that you got. You financially free, theoretically. You financially free. When you invest that figure, if you spend 4% of what you invested, you spend 4% of what you invested every year, you will never run out of money. And wow, you live that lifestyle comfortably.
Wow.
Yeah. So to make it more practical, so let me bring it this way. So let's say my lifestyle that I desire is, okay, I want to be able to go for vacation two times in a year, stuff like that, and all. So I figure that, okay, at the end of everything, what I will spend for a year, not what I'm making, right? So let's say my current lifestyle, I want to just maintain my current lifestyle. I don't like something too much.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say what I would need to spend to maintain my current lifestyle is, let's say 10 million, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. Let's say 10 million to make the number easy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say 10 million. So that 10 million, what I'll do is multiply by 25.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get 25 million, right?
10 million, that'll be 250 actually.
Yeah, that'll be 250, yeah. That'll be 250. Sorry, I thought it's 2.5. So that'll be 250. Having 250 now, if I invest that 250 million, in an investment dimension, something as low as that, that offers 4-5%, 6% per annum, right? But invest that in, and that's like super easy. You can pick some stocks that can do amazing stuff like that. You can do that. You can, there are platforms that you can easily leverage. You don't even need to do it yourself. Just look for something like Chaka, that is very good stuff, and you could get something easily. So let's say you put that amount, 250 million, you put it in that kind of investment, and I will draw 10% or I will draw 4% annually. That 4% annually will cover all my expenses for a whole year. So let's say at the end of the year now, let's say December now, I'm withdrawing 4% of it. That 4% I'm withdrawing will cover my expenses for next year. So let's do the math. Initially, we said I'm spending 10 million per year, right?
Yeah.
So that 10 million multiplied by
25 is 250.
25, right? That's 250 million. Now, and I said you invest it. You don't even need to know how it is increased. Just invest it in something that gives 4-6% per annum. So that means after a year, your money would have increased by, let's say, around 4-5%, right?
Yes.
So let's say your money increased by, let's pick the middle number, 5%. Your money has increased by 5%, right? By the time you withdraw 4%, you discover that you withdrew the profit on the money, not the actual capital.
Yes.
So, and if you calculate 4% of 250k, 250 million. 4% of 250 million is what?
4% of 250 million. That would be about 100.
That brings you back. That brings you back to 10 million. Brings you back to
10 million, actually. Yeah, brings you back to 10 million.
So that is your investment does not really need to do very big per annum. You do 5%, 6% per annum. You've covered what you spend for the next year, living your lifetime free.
So you can sign. You didn't actually have to work. You didn't actually have to work for that 10 million.
You don't even need to work for that 10 million.
So does it mean that? So if I get it correctly, for example, I'm using myself. I'm 22 right now, right? Yeah. I'm 22 this year, right? And then I have like a lifestyle that I want to achieve. Let's assume I actually want to achieve that this particular lifestyle by maybe 40. I mean,
yeah,
that's not a bad year to look at. Okay, I want to achieve this lifestyle by 40, you know, be able to take care of my family, you know, do all of those things, just achieve all of these things by when I'm 40, right? And and let's assume that I'll have a family by then, I'll have a wife. And wives are very expensive, by the way. So oh my goodness. So yeah, so I'll have like a family, right? Wife and kids. And let's say my expense for the year, vacation included, expenses in the family, feeding, running the family, children's school fees, all of those things can last for till about, say, let's give an hypothetical figure, like let's say 100 million per year,
right?
Let's assume we want to live quite an amazing life. 100 million per year, it means that between now and when I'm 40, I need to make 2.5 billion I should be ready to start investing 2.5 billion. That's what it means.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for.
It's a lot of money.
No, it's actually not a lot of money. If you look at it.
Well, that's what you think.
Let me give you an example, right?
Okay.
So let's say you're looking for that lifestyle, right? Mm. You know, for you to be able to afford that lifestyle,
yeah,
must be making money to actually fund it currently.
Mm.
Right? So let's say, hypothetically, you've been able to achieve that lifestyle, right?
Mm.
Okay, let's say the current lifestyle you're living now,
mm-hmm,
you're spending 10 million hypothetically per month, mm-hmm, per year, right?
Mm-hmm.
For you to maintain this lifestyle and not do anything.
Oh, and not do anything. That's
and not do anything.
Oh, right.
You get. So if you and not do anything. But the fun part is there's actually not, we feel like the figure is big, but it's not something you have to do at once. Right, so let's say you're somebody making 4 million per month now. You're making 4 million per month. You say, okay, you're chasing this goal. My goal is next year I want to apply for bigger jobs, international gigs. I'll be making $10,000. $10,000 at this exchange rate converts to like 10 million, right?
Yeah.
So you're making 10 million per month. I'm telling you that we are starting. From the perspective of somebody making 10 million per month.
Yeah, it seems like an easier
thing. That figure looks different now, right?
Yeah, actually.
You get the gist. So as we go, what, and the thing about it is it's giving us this OKR vibe. If we employ OKR with it, OKR simply means objective key result. It's a methodology for setting goals, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at it, it's quite audacious, which is one of the key characteristics of OKR. It's quite audacious, right? When you start going for it, by the time you start increasing, you don't even have to go a moon short of that 250. Let's get started with the current lifestyle you're living now. Can you achieve financial freedom at the current lifestyle you're living?
Hmm.
If you can get that done, trust me, it's easy to you just have to level it up. It's easy.
Amazing. So so do you think that for me to attain that particular freedom, do you think I need to, and for to be honest, I think many youths today, young people, especially young people working in tech, earning salaries that someone who also started doing tech and has a family, they'll be earning exactly the same amount, right? Hypothetically, we can look at a very average Nigerian salary of maybe 200k, right? As a techie, you're probably earning 200k, and a man with family is earning 200k. And the reality is that they may not be entirely satisfied and comfortable, but he'd provide for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a young techie earning 200k, for myself, for instance, I know that I can't I can't survive on 200k per month. Like, so I'm always wondering that why does it feel like that? Why does a man that has families and is probably paying rent somewhere, I've started paying rent as well, but I mean, you know, that's paying rent and school fees and feeding like about four other mouths or three other mouths besides his, right? How does this mindset shift come into play? Because I believe that if younger people can actually shift their mindsets, right, and as and you know, change their lifestyle and stop inflating their lifestyle, they actually maybe our generation might be on the edge of becoming the next set of, we might be creating a lot of millionaires in Nigeria, especially with the new outburst of tech talent.
So I think if I'm supposed to answer your question, the simplest answer to it, just this phrase, Parkinson's principle, the Parkinson's law.
Okay.
Right. I wrote about it, I think earlier this month or so, right?
Okay.
So it's a law that states that resources will always, responsibility will always grow up to meet resources, right? It applies to different areas, but when it comes to finance and personal finance, you can state it as this: your expenses will always rise up to meet your income if you give it enough time. So let me give this example, let me break it down. So let's say you're earning 200k currently, right? Then you landed a very nice gig, let's say come January, and you're earning 600k.
Yeah.
Right? By the time you're earning 600k, the first month, I think all of us have actually experienced this, especially when we had our first breakthrough.
Yeah.
By the time you're earning 600k, you feel like that money is much, right? You don't really have a lot to buy.
You start figuring out things that you can't buy.
Give it 3 months, max of 5 months. It starts looking like the money is not enough again. That's because according to that principle, your expenses would always rise to meet your income. And the reason why it tries to meet your income is by the time you start getting some level of resources and your level of responsibility is different, right? Let's say for somebody that is young, their level of responsibility is different. The perspective towards life is completely different, right? They want to go to Lagos by flight. Even though it's just a one-day tech event, they want to go to Lagos by flight, right? They come back by flight, right? I mean, that's amazing. It's a very good experience. But when you start...
A man with a family would not think like that. Never.
Yeah, yet. When you start experiencing this side of life, your taste would change, your perspective towards life will start changing, your taste will change, and as your taste changes and evolves, your desires changes completely. So that would drive your expenses itself to go higher, and at a certain point, you meet your income equally. If you give it enough time, it grows beyond your income. The expenses grow beyond your income, and at that point, you think, I think I need an extra job. So that's the difference, because somebody that is a family man that's making 200k, his perspective towards life is different. He has learned strategies to say, okay, we have to manage this thing, we have to do this. But somebody that is a tech, we feel like, bro, I'm not feeding anybody.
Yeah,
like,
they will cook. They will have cook
salary,
and buy
salary.
Food.
I can go drink garlic.
Yeah, unlike tech bros in Africa, they will order HTML.
You get that stuff. I mean, it's from perspective, it saves time. But what if you could ask somebody, instead of ordering for HTML,
ask someone to come day, cook for the week or something?
You get it. What if you could find somebody that is probably a student and you're still a tech bro? You could find a very good person in your class, in your department, that's very, or probably a friend that doesn't really have
as much as you.
Find a very good friend say, okay, don't worry, we're not even doing it for free. Don't worry, this Saturday, come to my house. I'll feed you for the whole of Saturday. I'll feed you for the whole of Saturday. I'll pay for your tea here. I'll give you data. Just come cook for me. I'll also tip you. Come cook for me, but you're going to make food that would last me 1 week. So instead of putting your money into HTML food, what if you buy a very nice, big freezer or fridge? You put it there. The person come, you stock your house. You would save way, way more doing that than ordering HTML food. All you have to do is just get the microwave. You bring it out, microwave it, and you're good to go. You always have food throughout the week. And you can always repeat this. So that saves you money than... But if you have not actually seen... life from another perspective, and you don't have some level of responsibility, you feel like, I mean, origination level is actually like the level, and your friend is doing that, your neighbor is doing that,
your neighbor, your friends, that pressure.
So I think that's the difference, because responsibility sometimes it removes some shit from your eyes, and you can see life from a very, very different perspective, and
you're
able to manage your resources better.
Shit gets real, man.
Yeah.
Nice. This has been really nice. Like I feel like if someone listens to this and prepares for the new year, it's enough. Like, this is enough. I think it's evidence. It's evident in the way I handle money, the way so many people handle money, is very evident. And this 25x rule is super, super amazing. I actually see possibility of working towards 2.5 billion before I'm 40. Like, there's huge possibility to make it happen. So
it's
really amazing.
Possible. Right? If you convert that by exchange rate to dollar, the value looks, the figure looks smaller actually.
Yes, absolutely. This is about 2.5 million in dollars.
So now imagine you start to get
any dollars, maybe 200k per year kind of role.
You get the gist, so it does make sense, right?
It makes a lot of sense. Oh my goodness.
If you're looking for $2.5 million, I am making 200k per year.
You can make it happen in 10 to 12 years.
And the funniest thing is you still can leverage. You don't have to gather the money at once, right? You could it's a journey.
Yeah.
Just like the podcast, it's a journey. So you could start with investing,
banking. And you'll be getting all of those percentages. Gross,
and you also had money.
Yeah, of course. That's the goal. That's the goal.
I've written a lot about some of this concept on my Medium, right? I just try to put thoughts down and write about it.
Yeah.
I've written on Parkinson's Law, the compound effect, the snowball effect, how you can actually invest a little bit, and with time, it just roll up. You don't even need, funny thing is, you're looking for that 250 million, right? Then you're not actually looking for the exact 250 million, because you invest, let's say, 1 million now, right? And let's say you invest it in an higher IT now that gives, like, let's say, 5% return per annum, right? Hypothetically, if you invest that in higher IT, that means 5% by the end of the year, you get 5% of your 1 million back, which is 50k. So that means in the money you're looking for, somebody has, like, gifted you 50k.
Worked for 50k on it, and you can compound that 50k back into the amount you're investing.
And 50k itself will earn interest the next year.
Also interest, yeah.
And now imagine scenarios where you now think, okay, let's say you invested a few in stocks, you now put, okay, another, let's say, 2 million in buying land, probably through a very good real estate guys in Lagos. You held that property for like 2 years, you sold it back, you made like 2x your money.
Yeah, you can. That's very possible.
You see that you're not really looking for the 250, right?
You're looking for opportunities to make 250
you
happen.
Get.
Amazing.
And by the time you set your eyes on this kind of figure, right, you start identifying opportunities. Because I was reading a book, all right? Oh, the book I just finished, Trading Zone by Mark Douglas. It's a book for trader, but it kind of gave me a very objective perspective towards life, right? It's saying that we actually don't see life itself. What we see is actually not life itself. What we see is what we've trained ourselves to see. You know, for you to know the laptop in front of you is actually a laptop, you must have learned
what the laptop is.
This thing is a laptop, right?
Yeah.
So for you to see an opportunity, you must have learned something about it.
Yeah.
So by the time you have learned about, okay, I need to invest in stock, probably a little bit of real estate, and you look, you know the figure you're looking for, you know what you're looking for, it becomes more easier to actually spot opportunities that'll
take you there.
Then put this thing together.
Nice. That's really amazing. This has been so cool for me. Like, I'm totally blown away once again by my chief of finance, as I like to call him,
It's an honor.
Trust me, it has been very easy. If you'd close on any words, linking it from your success not being exactly tied to your finance, but at the same time being able to build that financial freedom. If you would have some final words on that, what would you say to close on this topic?
So what I would say to close off would be, actually, what I would say is it's possible, right? There's something I learned from Vusi Tebukwayo. He said, anything is possible, just what you have to do is you don't have to do it big, right? You just have to start and build it will snowball at the end and you get there.
Amazing. I love that so much. And in fact, it's something I need for the next phase of my life. As I said, I'm looking to, you know, really transition into a new role, probably a new company, as I'm sensing it in my spirit, probably a new company, and just looking to do bigger things, especially in the coming year, even for my startup and so many places as well. And these dreams feel so big that they feel overwhelming, but it's evident that as long as I start small, I'll definitely get the kind of results that I want. This has been super interesting, Olufemi. Every time you come to the podcast, it's a banger.
I definitely hope it's really exciting to actually share with people.
Actually
helped me. Speaking of, just look at setting, like, having the goal, what you want to achieve, and everything you assemble towards it, right? Speaking of that, now my goal is this coming year, I want to reach 1 million people. It doesn't have to be African, it doesn't have to be Nigeria alone, like just Africa generally. 1 million people with financial literacy. And I think with this, I've probably been able to do like 100 already with this podcast.
I was just about to tell you that you can change that 1 million goal to 999,900. Because yes, wow, you actually from just this episode, you actually have reached out to about 100 people, and it's the power of this podcast, to be honest. I'm always super honored when I see a new play, when I see the count go up, and I see that, oh my goodness, about I think one of the episodes, the highest amount of plays we have right now is about over 200, and it's just really exhilarating to see that we'll be having these conversations. I'm learning a lot from here, and at the same time, other people are listening and they're learning so much. That's why I really appreciate my guest a lot. It's such an opportunity for me, honestly. It's a huge opportunity. So thank you very much. Thank you very much, Olufemi. I really appreciate this. In fact, I was supposed to have another session by 8 p.m. today, but I was like, as we started the course, I was like, no, I have to finish this and finish it well and learn from our guy before I run away. Thank you so much.
Thanks for hosting me.
Thank you so much. Do you want to give us that last phrase so I can, you know, plug in that track behind it?
All right, no problem. I think I'll leave us with this thought finally. One day you leave this world behind, so live a life you will remember.
Okay, don't worry. When I have the episode rolled out,
I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Don't worry. You definitely see that. Thank you so much, Olufemi. Do have an amazing evening. And yeah, happy new year in advance. See you in 2024.
Thank you for doing the great job.
Thank you, Maoga. Take good care.
Yeah, I suppose.